American funeral directors have come under vicious attack of late, and serious charges have been hurled against them for allegedly taking advantage of those who've been bereaved of loved ones. Foremost in this attack has been Jessica Mitford's book, The American Way of Death, which has become a bestseller. One wonders just what percentage of compassion and what of commercialism constitute the motives of this author and her publishers. But one thing I want to say in this broadcast. I've lived and served in Greensboro as a minister of the gospel for over 20 years. And, of course, have conducted many funerals during that period. I sincerely believe that we are fortunate in this city in having the high type of funeral firms to assist those who experience the loss of loved ones. The splendid facilities and equipment, the courteous personnel, the consideration and assistance rendered to rich and poor, the dignity and efficiency with which every detail is handled, place our local funeral homes without exception in the front rank of American undertaking establishments. I've often said this privately, and I'm happy to say it publicly this morning. But back to this attack on American funerals. I believe it's much more sinister than might appear at first sight. To me, it's but another atheistic attempt on our cherished American traditions with strong communistic undertones. Communism is an atheistic ideology, and as such scoffs at the thought of resurrection. Christianity presents the resurrection of Christ as the very keystone in the arch of truth, and the resurrection of Christ as the pledge and proof of the resurrection of all. If there is no God, then there's no resurrection. If there's no resurrection, then why bother about the bodies of the departed? So reasons callous atheism. But Christianity cries aloud, there is a God. There is a risen Savior. There will be a resurrection of all. Therefore, bury your dead decently, reverently, confidently, in sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the dead. An argument has been lost to solid reason and evidence. Very often recourse is had to ridicule and sarcasm. It's so with those who reject the thought of a resurrection. It is so with them today. And it was so with them in Paul's day. Faced by the undeniable logic and invincible arguments he had marshaled in proof of the resurrection, his opponents turned to sarcasm. And in verse 35 of 1 Corinthians 15, we hear the question raised, how are the dead raised up? And what body do they come? How can a body that has disintegrated and returned to dust be resurrected? What kind of a body would that be? So they asked then, and so the skeptics ask today. Paul's inspired answer is a classic in comfort and hope. Thou fool, he exclaims, think. Have you never observed and understood the simplest lesson of the vegetable kingdom? Death is the way to a new life. Without death, this new life is impossible. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die, verse 36. Our Lord himself had reminded his hearers of the same simple truth. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit, John 12:24. It's so obvious, it's almost incredible that intelligent people sometimes overlook it. And yet we have false cults today. And atheistic ignoramuses who prattle away about death ending all. Their slogan is, when a man's dead, he's dead, and that's all. Certainly he's dead, but what is death? Is it cessation of being? Is it extinction? Is it annihilation? Absolutely not. Our Lord said, if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. No annihilation there. The Apostle Paul said, it does not come to life unless it dies. Nothing looks deader than a dry seed or a bulb. Nothing looks more alive than the growing plant that pushes up through the dry ground after a period of germination. This spring season shouts aloud the joyous message that death does not end all. If it does, then every gardener, every farmer, every horticulturist is a fool, wasting his time and strength and money in vain expectation of a resurrection harvest. If we could once catch the thrill and challenge of this great truth, we would abandon our fear of death, cast away all intemperate and morbid sorrow, and wait in joyful hope for the fuller life that is beyond death. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come, said Job, long before ago, without the full light of the Christian revelation which we have. But the question still remains, with what body do they come? The vegetable kingdom again provides the illustration and exemplification of the apostle's answer. That which thou sowest, he writes, thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance a wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Verses 37 and 38. Seeds are not beautiful things. Bulbs are usually unattractive. But what beauty they produce! What is more attractive than rows of new vegetables, fields of waving grain, and beds of spring flowers? We live in a little home on 4.5 acres of land just inside the city limits. My wife and I secured it 14 years ago. There our 3 sons have grown up. Around us are over 3 acres of oak and poplar trees, interspersed with native dogwoods. By dint of hard labor, we're slowly winning the battle with these giant trees, and our house is becoming surrounded by lawns and flower beds and flowering shrubs. Right now, we're in a resurrection scene. The dry, brown leaves still piled around, waiting for time and strength to remove them, are a constant reminder of the death that seemed to envelop the scene during the winter months. But the crocuses, the jonquils, the tulips, are singing forth a resurrection message, assisted by the camellia, the forsythia, and the flowering plum. That lovely faint haze of new foliage is beginning to show on trees and shrubs and rose bushes, and won't be long until our home will be almost buried by a snowstorm of dogwood blooms. Don't tell me death ends all, and that there is no resurrection. My little acreage gives the lie to that. And don't try and tell me, my mother, my father, my only sister, my little brother who scarcely opened his eyes on this world before he left for heaven, are extinct and I'll never see them again. Yes, I shall see them, for my Bible gives the lie to that. I shall see them, and the resurrection bodies shall pulsate with resurrection life and bloom with a beauty they never possessed here on this life. This is the resurrection message of the vegetable kingdom, and it's well for us to hear it, to enjoy it, and to be blessed by it. We sorrow when loved ones are taken away. That is normal and natural. One is a hard-hearted person, and something wrong indeed with our makeup if they do not shed tears and feel pangs of loss and loneliness when loved ones are taken away. But thank God, we who are Christians, who know our Bibles, who know the Lord of life, we sorrow not as others which have no hope. We'll miss our loved ones for a little while, but thank God it's only for a little while. We shall go to be with them in due time, for while the body was laid away in the grave, yet the soul and spirit, the real person, went to be with the Christ who died for them, if they were true believers in him, or if they had not as yet reached the years of accountability before God. And so they themselves are not in the grave. They are at home with the Lord. But we laid away the body, that which they had lived in here on earth, in sure and certain hope of that blessed resurrection. And that body's going to rise. But it's not going to rise just as we laid it away by any means. It's going to rise as that plant or flower comes forth from that seed or bulb that was buried in the ground. We'll recognize that body. Yes, we'll know what it is and who it is. But it will have a new life. There'll be a new beauty to it. That'd be so wonderful, so far beyond anything that we could possibly conceive of here, that we will gasp undoubtedly in amazement. I believe we'll recognize each other in heaven. I haven't any question whatsoever about that. I believe the Bible teaches that very clearly and very simply. But I also know from the teaching of this great chapter that we're considering together that there'll be a new beauty, a new bloom in all of those bodies that rise. I can't describe it because God hasn't seen fit to do so for our enlightenment. But all around us, this wonderful spring season, we can learn this lesson. And I hope that you are thrilling with the joy of it. I don't know whether I've ever enjoyed a spring more than this year. Maybe I have. Maybe it's just the fact that I'm living in the enjoyment of this present one that seems to make it so much better than any of the past ones. I don't know. It doesn't bother me, but I'm enjoying it. And looking out on the signs of new life on every hand, my heart is just thrilling with joy to know we have a living Christ. And loved ones, we ourselves have called to go through death, shall rise in the glory of resurrection power and beauty in a coming day. Now, I'm going to continue this subject because the apostle has a great deal more to say about it in this chapter, and I'm going to continue it this morning at 11 o'clock. We hope you'll be with us. The lesson of the animal kingdom, the lesson of the solar system, all these can tell us much about the resurrection. And until next week, Easter Sunday, in the will of the Lord,